Shelly Anderson, a longtime Pittsburgh Penguin beat reporter, joins us. Shelly, you've seen Malkin. We've seen what he does when Crosby's not in the lineup. I know it's strange to say, but he rarely gets in the conversation of best NHL players, despite being one of them.
Good afternoon, guys. I agree with you, and it's kind of confounding, and I've never quite understood it either. Their careers have been similar in terms of numbers and impact. Certainly, Evgeny Malkin is someone who can dominate a game and take over, and Sidney Crosby has done that too. The skill for both, the numbers for both. I think you have to put them in at least a similar conversation. I was just listening to local Pittsburgh radio earlier, and they were saying, well, Sidney Crosby is probably the best, but Evgeny Malkin is probably not even the best Russian player because Ovechkin is. So, you know, I don't know what he has to do. I'm not sure he's worried about that in terms of selling himself, but he certainly is a good player, and any team would want him.
Yeah, absolutely, Shelley. It's funny you mention Ovechkin. You take a quick look at Hockey Reference. Points per game for active players right now. Sidney Crosby, 1.36. Second, Evgeny Malkin, 1.207. Ovechkin is third at 1.185. So Malkin is in the conversation. What strikes me is this, and it's not the first time this has happened. Like, who was the second best defenseman in the league when Bobby Orr was on top of his game? Or who was the second best defenseman in the league when Paul Coffey was tearing it up with the Oilers? You know, it happens generationally, doesn't it?
I think it does, and I would like to think that's not a condemnation of the type of player that Evgeny Malkin is. I would hope that when people are reminded of his name, the response that it elicits is something good. You know, where they, oh yeah, that's right, yeah, he is up there too, kind of thing.
Shelley, looking at this Penguins team, Marc-Andre Fleury, he's having career year. In the regular season, his best season ever. I'm not sure how much does he connect it to the sports psychologist that he's talked to over the last few years, because he seems to be much more consistent in his net and just maybe overall in his game.
I don't know if, as far as I know, he saw a sports psychologist just the one summer. I'm not sure if there's an ongoing relationship there. Maybe it's just the kind of thing where he checks in every now and then with that person, but I think the seeds that were planted then were something he took forward, not necessarily an ongoing thing. I know they came up with a trigger word that he can use. He won't tell anyone what it is, that he can use to fall back on just to get refocused when he needs to. But he certainly has seemed focused this whole season. There seems to be a lot of attribution also to his goaltending coach, Mike Bales, who's in his second season. And not to say that Gilles Meloche, the former goaltending coach, lacked skills to coach, but I think he may have filled more of a role of confidant rather than flat-out coach for Marc-Andre Fleury. And I think Mike Bales has really helped him in terms of his post-play and some of his positional play and just being calmer and not always relying on the fancy athletic saves, although he can pull those out when he needs to also still.
Yeah, Shelley, that makes a lot of sense. Are you saying there's maybe more, for lack of a better term, calmness in his game? He's a very athletic guy and a reflex guy. Is he just quieter than he used to be?
That could very well be. And I think it's something he had to work on, because I'm not sure that's something that came naturally. He's just, he's a happy-go-lucky guy in a lot of senses. He likes to talk. He likes to joke. He likes to move around a lot. And to have to mute that a little bit within his game is something that took some time, I think.
How's the coaching change? What's the biggest change you've seen on the ice and is how the Penguins attack?
I think at this point you'd have to say, and there are lots of changes, big and small, but I think the defensive responsibility is something when you look at a big body of work, I think you have to say that. And I don't know that the players have tuned out Dan Bylsma in terms of defensive things, or it's just, it's not just stay at home, because Chris Letang has the green light to go now. So it's an overall philosophy. No one can tell me exactly why, but that is an improvement that you, not only has been evident, but something that I think going into the playoffs is really necessary.
Shelley, with the Oilers' struggles this year, they ended up seeing fit to get David Perron out of here. When you look at him, what do you see, and how does he fit into the scheme of providing that secondary scoring to Crosby and Malkin?
I think he's cooled off a little bit lately, but he's certainly been impressive since he got here. He's pretty much he stepped right in as a top six forward and pretty much has been on Sidney Crosby's line. And I think he was out of position a little bit on the right side. And when they moved Chris Kunitz to Evgeny Malkin's line, that allowed David Perron to move back to the left side. And I think he's maybe a little more comfortable there. I know this is cliche, but it probably takes a little bit of a special player to be able to play with a center like Crosby or Malkin, just to know what they can do and to not be surprised by what they do. And it just seems like David Perron's the kind of player who can do that.
Shelly Anderson joining us. He's definitely added something, he's got to be happy playing with the best player in the world in Sidney Crosby. I don't know any player in the world that wouldn't be happy about that. Do they have enough scoring depth, Shelly? Because I think that's been kind of the lack of Pittsburgh's success the last few years is, if Malkin and Crosby weren't producing a lot, they didn't seem to have the secondary guys who could do it.
And that's been something that another first-year person here, Jim Rutherford, the general manager, that's something that from the day he was hired, he talked about. And even getting some scoring from the bottom two lines. You're right. You can't always rely on not just two players, but even two lines, particularly in the playoffs. I don't know if they've got enough. That probably is a good thing, a reason that it's a good thing that they're playing a little bit more sound at both ends. But certain guys have stepped up and then cooled off. And I guess that's okay in the playoffs, too, if it's a kind of a different guy every night or every series. But to see what they've done the past couple of years in the playoffs and have their scoring let them down is not only surprising, but a real concern. So we're going to have to see about that. I'm not completely convinced at this point.
It's interesting, too, Shelley. The Metropolitan is so strong this season. How about the grind of just playing, with the Rangers and the Islanders have jumped up? It's a far tougher go for Pittsburgh than it was a couple of years ago.
You're right, and particularly with the way that the early rounds of the playoff matchups mm-hmm. set up now, too. The Penguins have not done as well inside their division. Their record is a little bit lacking. They've really feasted off the West in particular. These are the teams they're going to play. They could well play the Rangers or Islanders in the first round, and they better figure out how to play within their division, because otherwise they're going to get bounced and people are going to have a fit. But it's you're right. The top half of this division is very tough. It's not really wavered a whole lot, which teams. There has been a little bit of maneuvering, but the top four teams have been the top four teams pretty much all season.
You mentioned they have to learn how to play within their division. When they face the Rangers or the Islanders, who it looks like they'll face one of those two teams in the first round of the playoffs, what's been lacking in Pittsburgh's game against those two?
That's a good question. I know a lot of people were concerned, particularly with some of the moves the Penguins made toward the deadline, that they don't feel like the Penguins added a physical presence, that they probably got a little less physical. And that's something that, the Rangers in particular, you're going to have to – the Rangers, I would think, it would be the physical play. The Islanders, you'd probably look at speed. It's not the same thing with each team, and the Penguins are going to have to figure out that they should have speed. They should have scoring. They should have, not fighting, but the other kind of toughness that you see. They will hopefully have enough for that from their standpoint to do it, but it's going to be different for each division opponent that they face. But so it's been more than one thing, but it's just something that they haven't been able to master.
Shelley, I haven't gone through the Penguins' whole schedule. Who has been the toughest matchup for them so far to this point in the season?
Oh, boy, that's a good question.
Within the Metro, I mean.
Within the Metro?
Yeah.
Might be a toss-up between the Islanders and the Rangers, of all things. Washington's been pretty tough, too, though. Mm. I can't rule them out. They're obviously a little bit different team than the other two. I'm going to go with all three of them until they can prove that they can really master a game against any one of the three. I'm going to say they're equally of a concern to the Penguins.
The Penguins have three games in hand on the Islanders, 4 points back. Obviously, they're trying to reel them in. They face the Edmonton Oilers tonight. It was kind of, it was a very lackluster game when they met in Edmonton 6 weeks ago on February 2nd. The Penguins, how do they fare? I know they're coming off that road trip and everything like that. Edmonton's had a few days rest. everybody knows where they are in the standings. I haven't looked at Pittsburgh's record, Shelley, against the bottom feeder teams. Have they done pretty well in not being like San Jose, who loses to Buffalo and Edmonton and Arizona regularly? Have the Sharks done pretty – I mean, have the Penguins done well against the teams they should beat?
They have for the most part. And any time that they don't, they hear about it for days. they have done pretty well. Talking about winning the games that you're supposed to win, I think they've done a pretty good job of that. This is a little bit like you said, both teams have had some time off. The Penguins this morning were on the ice for the first time since they played Monday night in San Jose. So a couple of days off. Are you fresh and ready to go, or are you a little rusty? I guess we're going to have to see. But they can't afford a lot of rest days. I believe this is one of their only two or three games the rest of the season that they play against a team that's in the bottom four or five, I think. So these are points that they're going to have, particularly if they want to have home ice in the opening rounds.
Well, Shelley, enjoy the game tonight and enjoy the playoff race. Obviously, it's not a playoff race. It's more of a seeding race in the Metropolitan and the Atlantic because, you know, all those top teams battling for the seed in their division, but also maybe for the number one seed in the Eastern Conference and home ice advantage.
I agree completely.
Appreciate your time, Shelley. Good talking again.
Anytime. Thank you very much, guys.